This particular picture of our building is on our website, and every time I see the picture, it brings a smile to my face. The beautiful blue sky, the steeple that stands on top of the building, the decorative window that's out front, the blooming azaleas that are down below, and in particular, the name that is written, the Oceanside Church of Christ. This particular church was established in 1984. And this morning we are celebrating the 35th anniversary of the Oceanside congregation. Folks, that's a long time for a congregation to be in an area and to be serving the beaches community. When you think of that little word anniversary, have you ever looked up the definition of the word? Most of us probably have not. It really comes from two Latin words. The first one is a little word by the name of annus, and that means year. The second is another Latin word, verter, and it means to turn. Thus, the definition of the word anniversary is a date that returns year after year after year. So a date is established, and that date just continues to come forward year after year after year. So today we're celebrating the anniversary of the Oceanside congregation. And my friends, anniversaries are important. When I first wrote that word down, I had this next statement in my notes. If you don't believe that, ask a wife. And then I changed it and I said this. If you don't believe that, ask a husband who has a wife. Notice this little cartoon. It says, yes, Loretta, I forgot our anniversary again. Don't you just love traditions? Because some men are pretty good at forgetting their wives' anniversary, and we don't want to do that with Oceanside today. Somebody might ask the question, well, why have an anniversary? And so today, what we're going to be doing is we're going to discuss the subject, the purpose of an anniversary, and hopefully we'll make it very applicable to this particular congregation. The first purpose of an anniversary is this. It is a time to remember. Now, folks, remembering the past helps us to properly live at this particular time. And in Scripture, over and over again, the Bible speaks about remembering and the ability to remember. Do you remember when the rich man died and went into the Hadean realm, into that realm of torment, and he begins a conversation with Abraham, and Abraham looks at him and he says, son, remember. Luke 16, verse 25. Just one chapter later in the book of Luke, Jesus is teaching and Jesus speaks these words, remember Lot's wife, Luke 17. Verse 32, that woman who fled from Sodom and Gomorrah and looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, this second epistle, beloved, write I unto you. Now notice what he says in the very last statement, that in both I stir up your pure minds by remembrance. You see, sometimes we already know things. Things have already been taught to us, but yet it is always good to remember, isn't it? Some might ask, well, what do we need to be remembering when it comes to the Oceanside congregation? Well, there's a lot of things we could remember. Folks, what is it that brought this church into being? If you don't know what it is that brought this congregation into being, you need to go and you need to find one of the older members of the congregation. And you need to just ask them, why is Oceanside even here? There's another Church of Christ on the beaches, so why is the Oceanside congregation here? We need to remember that. We need to remember the people who established this congregation. We need to remember the battles that have been fought in times past that has brought this congregation to this particular point. We need to remember the elders who have overseen this church and have watched after the souls of the members of the church. We need to go back and remember all of the preachers who have proclaimed the doctrine of Jesus Christ in this congregation. We need to remember the teachers who have taught the little ones all the way up to the big ones. And we need to remember the special people who have sacrificed year after year after year for this congregation to be here. Those are just a few of the things we need to remember during a course of an anniversary. But we might ask the question, well, why remember? Well, number one, we do not want to make the mistakes of the past, do we? You see, there are sometimes that congregations make mistakes. And yet, if we remember those things, we can correct all of that and we don't have to make those mistakes again. Notice this one. We need to remember because one of the things we should want to do as a congregation is to fulfill the dreams of those individuals from the past. When this congregation came into being, individuals had a dream. They had a vision of what they wanted this church to be. And you and I are now responsible for trying to carry out that vision. What did they want to see from the Oceanside congregation? And then lastly, so we will appreciate the things that we oftentimes take for granted. Folks, sometimes we just need to stop and we need to think about what it cost to have the things that we have today. Many of us have just walked into this building, walked upon this property, and we are not really a part of it all being here. We are just the recipients of the blessing, and we need to think about that, don't we? There was great cost, and we need to appreciate the cost. And that leads to the second point. You see, an anniversary is also a time to remember and be grateful for the past. Did you know that ingratitude is a sin? We could go into a lot of detail about what the Bible teaches with regard to ingratitude. Take, for instance, the 10 lepers that were healed. Only one of them came back, fell upon his knees before Jesus, and gave thanks for the blessing. And we all are very familiar with the story and the words of Jesus. When Jesus saw that one man, what did he say? Where are the nine? Just think about that. 10 people cleansed of leprosy, cleansed of a deadly disease, and one, only one, gives thanks. Where are the nine? And then he says this, there are none return to give praise to God save this stranger. Folks, Jesus is teaching about the blessing of gratitude and the sin of ingratitude. We can also turn to Romans, the first chapter, and Paul makes mention in that chapter about the Gentile world. Folks, during the days of Rome, the Gentiles were apostates from God. Now, there was a time when they knew God. There was a time when God had spoken to them, had revealed His will to them, and yet for some reason they had turned to God. And what's interesting is that ingratitude was a part of the apostasy. Paul writes in Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, watch this, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. You see, the very moment that I cease being grateful for the blessings that I have is the very moment that I begin to depart from those blessings. So you and I need to stop and we need to give thanks on this day of anniversary. What are some of the things we can be grateful for? Here's first, folks. You and I should be grateful that the name of the church continues. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus says, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Folks, 2,000 years ago, Jesus promised to build a church, my church, the church of Christ. And today, the name of the Church of Christ continues in this community through the Oceanside congregation. But notice, secondly, we ought to be grateful that sound doctrine continues to be preached in this congregation. There are many churches today who have turned from sound doctrine. There are many churches today who refuse to proclaim sound doctrine. There are many who have embraced false doctrine. And yet Paul told Titus, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Titus 2 verse 1. My friends, that's part of the reason Oceanside is here. They wanted sound doctrine proclaimed in the ears of the members of this church. And every day we ought to be grateful that truth is taught. For Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's not about feeling good. It's not about my opinion or your opinion. It's about a "thus saith the Lord," is it not? And what God desires of us. Thirdly, we ought to be thankful for the building and grounds. We mentioned that just a moment ago. Folks, property and buildings are not cheap, are they? Go back and talk to some of the members and what it cost at that particular time to build this congregation, to purchase the land, to add on that building, to purchase the preacher's house. Sometimes we forget that that's also a part of what this congregation owns. Folks, all of this is expensive. And you see, you and I just walk in, we plop ourselves down on the pew, and we say, "Boy, this is a nice little building." We enjoy it, we leave, and it costs a lot. And we need to give thanks for what we have here, folks. We need to give thanks for the planning. And then not only just for the planning, but for those individuals who are willing to work the plan to bring to pass what we have at this present time. It's one thing to say, "I want something." It's another thing to bring that to pass, is it not? And it takes work and diligence. And those individuals did that. We need to be thankful for those who financed those big projects in times past. Folks, when you go back and you study about what went on in this congregation, there were some individuals who signed their name to a bottom line, saying to the banks and others, "We will even sacrifice, if need be, our homes if this particular building is not built." Folks, that's some dedication, is it not? You see, we have trouble sometimes just saying, "Well, you know, we need to come up with an extra $5 or $10 for the contribution plate." Sign your name to the bottom line. That's some sacrifice, and we need to be thankful that those big projects were financed. How about this one? They had to overcome obstacles, did they not? When you're trying to establish your church and you're trying to make certain you have a faithful congregation, guess what? Satan is going to be in the way. Satan's going to do everything he possibly can to hinder your efforts. And yet they fought, they labored, and they overcame. And just think, we don't have the fears, the worries, the frustrations, and the anxieties that those individuals did in times past. We don't have to get up and worry about whether we're going to finance the building, pay off the land, whatever it is. All we've got to do is rise and come to the building, don't we? My friends, Oceanside has a lot to be thankful for. And you see, an anniversary gives us an opportunity to stop and think about the blessings that are ours, and we need to get on our knees and give thanks to God. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. How about this one? Folks, an anniversary date ought to be a date of determination. You see, not only are we going to be looking back about what we have, but we also need to stop right now and begin to look forward to what is to come. Now watch this next statement. The future is ours. Now, a lot of times speakers make that statement, and you want to know why they make that statement? It's a motivational statement, isn't it? Sounds good, doesn't it? The future's ours. Boy, you can leave and you just feel so good. Oh, the future's ours. Folks, there's a lot more to it than that. Did you know that? The future will be dictated by our decisions, our actions, our preaching, our teaching, our programs, and how much we at Oceanside right now are willing to sacrifice. You see, right now, we are the ones determining the next 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years while we are living on the earth. And the question is, what are we going to leave behind? You see, we've been given a wonderful gift, have we not? But what are we going to do with that gift? An anniversary is a time to sit down and think about that seriously. This is what we have. Where are we going? And then determine to do what needs to be done to make Oceanside what it needs to be. Now, when I think of determination, there are elements of determination. In fact, there are 7 of them. Bill's second sermon. Bill always accuses me of having few points, but many points under points. And he's right. 7 qualities of determination. Look at one of them. Vision. The ability to look into the future. What do we want next year? What do we want in 5 years? What do we want in 10 years? That's the reason we had yesterday, folks, the Catch a Vision Day, to bring everyone in the congregation together and get your input about where we want to be at least next year. But we need to be looking farther than that. That's what vision is. But notice also there has to be commitment. Folks, we talk about commitment. It involves a binding of ourselves together to what needs to be done. Every one of us has to make up our mind. I'm not going to be a pew sitter. I'm not going to be a Sunday morning Christian. I'm going to be committed to this congregation. And I'm going to do what has to be done for the success of this church, not just for today, but for 5, 10, 15 years down the road. There's got to be a commitment by every member of the church if we're going to do what needs to be done. Thirdly, there has to be wisdom. It's not just about knowledge, folks. Knowledge is important. But you see, we have to be able to take that knowledge and we've got to be able to apply that knowledge, do we not? Fourthly, there's got to be endurance. We got to keep on keeping on. You don't stop. You don't give up. Oh, yes, you might get a little bit down. You might get a little bit depressed. You might get a little bit upset. But guess what? Don't ever quit. You just keep on, keeping on, keeping on until dreams are fulfilled. Fifth, there has to be flexibility. Now, I'm not talking about doctrine. You can't change doctrine. You can't manipulate doctrine, not and please God. But as far as our goals and our dreams, sometimes you have to roll a little bit. You have to turn a little bit. You have to make a few changes along the way. And you need to be able to do that as a church. Folks, there's got to be hard work. There's got to be blood. There's got to be sweat. There's got to be tears. There's got to be the investment of time. There's got to be the investment of money in order for things to be fulfilled. And then lastly, there's got to be teamwork. Every member of this congregation is important. Every member of this congregation is important. I don't know about you. I've got one body and I don't want one digit taken off. Do you? I don't even want part of a digit removed. I need all my body. And guess what? The Lord needs all members of the body to work and labor and toil for the success of this church. It takes determination, folks. And part of that is teamwork by every member of this congregation. Now, I wish we had time to go into the book of Nehemiah and examine all seven of those elements of determination. Do you know that? Because they're there. Every one of them are there. But I want us to stop just a minute, and I want us to look at Nehemiah's vision. Remember I said that's the first point of determination, right? Vision. What are you going to accomplish? What do you want to accomplish? But it all began in Nehemiah's day with a problem. Nehemiah was a king's cupbearer in a foreign land by the name of Persia. Folks, he lived a long, long way from the city of Jerusalem. But one day there came through the temple area of Shushan some of his friends, some of his family from Jerusalem. And he asked about how everyone is doing there. And folks, the news was not good. Here's what they told him. The remnant of the captivity there in the city are in great tribulation and distress. The wall of the city of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates are burned with fire. Now think about that. Those folks are talking to a Jew. Jerusalem's the city of God. Jerusalem's the place where the temple is supposed to be. Jerusalem's the place where God's presence is supposed to dwell. And what does Nehemiah hear? Nehemiah hears the people are in affliction, they're in great distress, the walls are broken down, the gates of the city are burned up. Now Nehemiah could have said this, oh well, I'm thousands of miles away from that and there's just nothing I can do about that, and just forgot it and continued to do what he did as the king's cupbearer. But you see, that wasn't the case. There was a purpose of heart developed deep within this man of God by the name of Nehemiah. I would love to have met Nehemiah, especially as a servant of the king, because you see, every day Nehemiah came in and he was happy, he was joyful, he was of a good countenance, and all of a sudden, one day he walks in unto the king and his countenance had fallen. And immediately the king noticed it and questioned him about that. Then said I unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou mightest send me to Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulcher, listen to this, that I might build it. Isn't that amazing? He gets one report about the city being destroyed. He's one man. He's just flesh and blood, just like we are. One man. But deep within his mind, I need to build the city. There's something I need to do. I've got to get back to Judah. I've got to be the one responsible for making sure that that city is restored to its glory. Wouldn't you like to meet Nehemiah? It's unbelievable, folks. One man, just like us, who deep within his heart had a purpose that needed to be accomplished. Through the providential hand of God, Nehemiah was able to go. And when he got there, he took a horse and a few men and he went around the city and he looked at everything that had transpired. And then Nehemiah goes to the elders of the people and he says, "Ye see the distress that we are in. How that the wall of the city is burned down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." Listen to what he says. "Come, let us build up the walls of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." He now communicates his vision to the children of Israel. Folks, that's vision. You see a problem, you desire to overcome that problem, alleviate it, and you communicate that to those individuals below us. That's vision. And guess what? 52 days later, Nehemiah and Israel restored the wall of the city of Jerusalem. One man in a far country built a wall around the city of Jerusalem. Why? Because he began with vision, folks. Fourthly, we come together for an anniversary. It's time for celebration. Did you know that? The children of Israel had three major feasts that they were to enjoy every year. One of them was the Passover feast. It happened beginning on the first month, 14th day of the month. It was a time when they commemorated the life of the firstborn. Remember, God sent as that last plague in Egypt, that angel who struck the firstborn dead of the nation of Egypt, but not one of the children of Israel perished. Why? Because the blood of the Paschal Lamb was on the doorpost and on the lintels, and the death angel passed over and they were saved from the destruction. Every year, the children of Israel remembered that passing over. 1,500 years they remembered, folks. Second feast, 50 days later, hence Pentecost, on the first day of the week. It was a time when they remembered the giving of the law of Moses on Mount Sinai. From the time they left Egypt till the time they got to the foot of Mount Sinai, 50 days had passed, and then God takes Moses up and gives the nation of Israel those Ten Commandments and the law, and this particular feast commemorated the giving of the law of Moses. The seventh month, 15th day of the month, another feast, a feast known as Tabernacles. The children of Israel had to wander 40 long years in the wilderness, didn't they? What did they dwell in? Just little tents, weren't they? Temporary tents. They could put them up, they could take them down rather quickly at the very command of the Almighty God. 40 years, tents up and tents down. And every year, there was a week-long feast commemorating the dwelling in tents. Now, what I find interesting about that is that this feast, even though it was celebrated, it was to remind the children of Israel of their rebellion against God. You see, God had told them, enter into the land of Israel. Into the land of Canaan. It's yours. Take it. And they refused to do that because of those 10 spies with that negative message. And because of that, 40 years they dwelled in the wilderness in booths. So every year, they would dwell in booths for a week during the celebration to commemorate those 40 years of wanderings. Amazing, isn't it? You see, celebration is important. In fact, when we look at the Feast of Booths in Luke 43, verse 41, look what's said. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord, 7 days a year, 1 week feast. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. Watch this. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. Hear that little word? Celebrate. Folks, God doesn't have any trouble with celebration. Did you know that? That little word celebrate means this: to laugh, to be giddy, to dance. It involves a solemn procession, and it involves a day of feasting. You see, God wanted His people 3 times a year, and really it was 3 weeks a year, to gather themselves together one with another and remember all of these events: the Passover, the giving of the law, the time that we had to pass through the wilderness for 40 years. And I want you to celebrate those times. I want you to laugh. I want you to have fun. I want you to involve yourselves in feasting and festivities. It's a time of celebration. That's what anniversaries are. And in just a few minutes, isn't that exactly what we're going to do? I hope a lot of you brought some food. I'm hungry. We're supposed to meet right back there in that back room in just a little bit. I've never been disappointed, I'll guarantee. And folks, while we're eating, while we're enjoying one another's company, guess what? We're celebrating today, are we not? It's anniversary day for Oceanside. It's a time to be a little bit giddy. I kind of like that word. Folks, anniversaries are important. It's a time of remembrance, a time of gratitude, at a time of determination, and a time of celebration. Tomorrow, we'll get back to work. How about that? You see, we talked about we've got to be determined, right? We've got to be willing to put in the blood, the sweat, the tears. We've got to be able to fulfill the vision. We've got to be able to keep on keeping on regardless. Keep the church here. We'll do that when? We'll do that tomorrow. When do you ever hear a preacher say that? Never. Because you see, today we reflect. And today we give thanks. And today we celebrate 35 years of the Oceanside's congregation being located here on the beach area. Maybe you're not a member of this congregation, and we want you to be. Folks, the Church of Christ has been established since the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. Did you know that? And what we're trying to do is we're trying to keep that church back then in existence today, aren't we? And all we ask is that individuals do what they did in order to become Christians. The gospel was preached in Pentecost Day. In Acts chapter 2, Peter told them to hear the gospel, Acts 2 verse 22. They did hear and believed, Acts 2, 36 and 37. They questioned, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." Acts 2 verse 38. They that gladly received His word were baptized. Acts 2, 41. And my friends, the same day, the Lord added those saved individuals to His church, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You don't join a church, folks. You obey the gospel and the Lord adds you to the body of Christ. You need to do that today. Maybe you're an erring child of God. Maybe you've not been as faithful and dedicated to this congregation as a member of it, and you need to repent of that. Maybe there's sin in your life that you need to repent of. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.